Vacation starts with VA. Whether you're feeling beachy, mountainy, or every-y in between, you'll find all that you love all in one trip to Virginia. Start yours at virginia.org.
Welcome back into the Badger Extra Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew. You're the football beat reporter here for Badger Extra and the Wisconsin State Journal. Joined today by Jake Kokorowski, our Badgers Athletics reporter, my tag team partner here on the football beat. Jake, we are halfway through spring practices. The transfer portal has opened up now, causing some odd situations where you just see guys end up bowing out a year of spring practices, which makes sense because of, you know, just the way the calendar worked out. But just kind of an odd time as you're at that kind of crucial evaluation point in spring, and then some guys are taking their chances elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'm wearing a Dolly Parton shirt right now.
I just saw that. I'm like, what are we doing here?
But I'm going to channel some Bon Jovi with the spring, saying the, whoa, halfway there. I wish we were recording the video.
I don't know how they connected to Dolly Parton. I got to be honest with you.
But no, I'm just in a musical mood right now.
Okay.
So anyways, I'm just connecting music stuff. But anyways, it is halfway through. We've seen two players, Nick Evers, quarterback, and then defensive lineman, former outside linebacker TJ Bowlers, depart. We haven't heard or seen anybody else declare from Wisconsin at this part, but this is a weird time where you have 15 days. You have from today, Tuesday, through the 30th. Mm-hmm. And there's a time period where you have now where players for this spring period, they'll be able to declare. But it's also for Wisconsin, why it's weird is that, like you mentioned, they're halfway done. So you don't have a full evaluation of where these players are. Now, we're going to talk about at least two positions where I feel not just Wisconsin, but the vast majority of college football programs are going to be looking for. So I think they're always looking to improve these two positions. And we'll tell you more about that in a bit. But it's just the way college football is. And I was joking with another media colleague just maybe half hour before we started recording this. I'm like, man, I sent an emoji of 30 Rock, the scotch or the bourbon pouring with Alec Baldwin about like, hey, now we got to follow both transfer portal and recruiting offers at this time. And it's a very, very busy time for college football, which never apparently sleeps. And then on top of that, those that cover it.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to talk about the departures in the transfer portal, maybe some potential target spots for the transfer portal for the Badgers in the next couple of weeks here, and then also the quarterback battle that's going on right now in spring football, because it is as close as I've ever seen covering the team. I know it's only, you know, going into year six, but I've never seen this program be in a spot where it is truly 1A, 1B, depending on the day. I don't see a whole lot of separation. So we're going to talk about the quarterbacks and everything else. So we'll take a quick break and be right back after this.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Jake, as promised, let's start with the transfer portal. You mentioned in the lead quarterback Nick Evers, defensive lineman TJ Bowlers depart so far. Like you mentioned, there are 2 weeks that players have now to decide what they want to do. Gives them basically all of spring ball to kind of get their druthers and kind of decide what they want to do going forward. And then also, you know, the coaches and the recruiting staff have to be monitoring the transfer portal and figuring out if they want to try to go after some people. So let's start with the guys that left real quick. Nick Evers, a guy with, I think, tremendous amount of talent. Had a rough start, I think, in terms of understanding the offense. But I think what we saw on the practice field between last spring, last fall, and then this spring right now, two different people. Really, I mean, just the comfort in the pocket, the footwork, this the calmness with how he made his decisions. I think, without a doubt, this spring was the best we ever saw Nick Evers look behind center. And just happened to work out that the coaching staff has a situation right now with Braden Locke and Tyler Van Dyke, which we're going to talk about. But those guys are battling 1 and 2, or, you know, like I said, 1A, 1B. And they're just blowing out a lot of room, I think, for a third quarterback to get a real shot. And this is not saying anything negative about Nick Evers. It's just, I don't think any quarterback would have had a good shot here to at least show what he could do because of all the offensive line issues that we talked about with depth here. And then the fact that they're really just focused on these two guys right now.
I've told you this before, not recording, but I feel that I really wanted to see Nick Evers get some reps with the first team this spring. And that's my two cents, my opinion. I'm not an offensive coordinator or quarterbacks coach, but like you mentioned, it was kind of night and day. Not kind of. It was night and day compared to where he was. Like his first spring practice, he uncorked a throw to Chris Brooks down the side left sideline. What was his to his left? Accurate 50-50 ball. Brooks, great catch by Brooks, but he put it on the money where it needed to be, right amount of strength, etc. And you're like, oh, but that's really the only play that flashed last spring.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could tell that he was uncomfortable in the pocket, moving his legs a lot. Here, he looks so much more confident and comfortable back there. I would have loved to see, and we mentioned about the depth at all offensive line, put him in front of those projected first-teamers because we feel that they will be, just being honest, like they've gotten the vast majority of first-team reps and they're in spring ball.
Right.
But, yeah, and just see what they do with guys that could be that will be contributors at wide receiver and at running back and see what happens. I would have just like to see that and just see, okay, what's the difference between Nick Evers and Braden Locke and Tyler Van Dyke? Now, sure. It's also tough where it's all, and then here's the thing, too. We also know it's amazingly tough where a lot of those projected first team offensive linemen, you got to cut, they're older, right? So you don't want to necessarily have too many reps on underneath their belt, but during the spring, because they may not need it. But it's also, it's just tough to try to see where quarterback, how much he's improved when you don't have the same, you don't have the same reps as the guys that are.
Like any experiment, right? You got to have a control. You got to have, as much as you can around it as the same to see the variable you're changing, how much it affects the overall product. And that's just not what we were able to see. And I think the one thing that maybe got overemphasized, and myself included, Nick Evers' running ability was his number one. If you're just going to say, what is he far and away better at than other guys in this quarterback room? His ability to run, his speed, just far and away the best guy in the room at that. That's clearly not something they're valuing. So I think, as we move forward, they want the mobility. We've seen the quarterback draw, how effective that is. They like the read option as part of their zone running game. All that's a requirement, but I don't think they're going to go out and be really hardcore recruiting dual threat quarterbacks with this system and with this coaching staff. I think they're going to be looking for guys that have the ability to run, but that's just, a back pocket. It's in their back pocket. It's not something that they're always trying to show. And I think that may be what Nick Evers' future is in college football, is finding a offensive system that is a little bit more reliant on that, and then using his big arm, using that ability to kind of improvise a little bit better than what they were trying to do here.
Right. I mean, be honest, like we've said it time and time again, either written or verbal, that Nick had the most physical, had the best, I don't know if you say best or most physical, but whatever, he physically had most talent that we had seen, both in terms of just the combined effort, arm plus legs and whatnot. It was all just a matter of getting down the offense and then being given a chance. And so I think, wherever he goes next, I think there's, if we think what we think is right in terms of Evers picking up the offense more and being more comfortable, I think that's only going to help him in whatever program he goes to next, because he's had that year now where he's grown.
Sure, yeah. Deliver what everybody said about his study habits improving, and you know, the word that Braden Locke used was he got like obsessed with, you know, learning the stuff. Like, yeah, that travels. That's going to help you wherever you go next.
Right. And I think he'll have an opportunity to shine somewhere at the FBS level where, sure, you know, if it's Power Four or Group of Five, we'll see. But I do think that, I mean, he showed enough. And even, you know, was it his last actual pass that he was rolling out to his right?
Yeah, he had one more after that. But yeah, he had a nice, with a play action pass, he rolled to his right, read the play correctly with the levels concept as kind of a flood thing, and then hit the guy over the middle, Alex Moeller. And yeah, really good play. And then I think it was one of his last two passes that he threw in a Badger uniform. So yeah, he was kind of one of those deals where you saw the talent and it just didn't end up panning out. It's kind of the same deal when you talk about TJ Bowlers on the defensive line. And you mentioned in our open, Sarda is an outside linebacker, moved to the defensive line late last season. That was where he was slated here in the spring. This was, I think, a miss on both coaching staffs that TJ Bowlers played for, in terms of the Paul Chris, Jim Leonard staff, and then now with Fickell Longo, the Fickell Tressel staff. Just nobody found that right positional fit for him. I think it was a mistake by Leonard. We all remember the quote when on that signing day, you know, outside linebacker plus, whatever the heck that meant. That never materialized, whatever that position could have been. That following spring when he got here, I remember just watching him, like, there wasn't a whole lot of comfort in space because he's a bigger dude, had never played in space before. He's always been a rush end and always try to get after the quarterback or get in the backfield. So there's those learning curves there of playing in space and dropping in zone, especially at that boundary spot. Look at the last few years, the things that Noah Burks, CJ Getz have done. They're not the stars, but they're taking away passing lanes that typically would be there if you don't have a linebacker that can drop there. What I'm getting at is, like, they just took too long to find the right spot for him. I think if he would have been labeled as a defensive end coming out of college or coming out of high school, he'd be in his second year as a contributor on this defensive line. If he would have bulked up right away as opposed to going up and down like he did. I mean, props to him for putting in all the work to lose and gain that much weight. But yeah, I think wherever he goes next, I think he needs to say, like, no, I'm a defensive lineman. I'm a defensive end. If he can find a 4-3 system, I know there's not a ton of them left in college football, but he can find a 4-down system, I think that's probably the best bet for him. But yeah, I think this was just a miss on both of these staffs for finding the right spot that he could fit.
It all goes back to that one quote from Bobby April, the former Wisconsin outside linebackers coach who's now the defensive coordinator at Stanford, talking about, it was what, 2022, early 2022, where he said, trim up and twitch up, was the quote that they used for Bowlers. And Bowlers did so and got to, I mean, that, I'm looking back at, yeah, it was like my first, it was my first year at the State Journal writing about the outside linebackers. 6'2" and 250 pounds is what Wisconsin listed Bowlers at. And where was he this year? This
way. 290.
Yeah. 288, 290. So, trying to manage your body where you have one way, you're going early, and then, oh, yeah, gain 37 pounds.
Yeah.
Let's try that for, yeah, other than go to
like Mac and Only Sunny. I've gained and lost 60 pounds in the last 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
That seems impossible.
It does. And I mean, that puts a lot of, it's tough because, yeah, he's a tweeter with that. I mean, and it was always an interesting type of discussion with Bowlers even before he signed. It was like, okay, he's going to be an outside linebacker, but his body kind of looks like it could be a defensive endish type thing. So what is he? Is he a 4-3 end? Is he a 3-4 outside linebacker? And we've seen, not just at the college level, but the pro level, talking about what, you know, I remember even like the famous example is Aaron Kapman for the Packers, who was a 4-3 D end. And then they go to Don Capers 3-4 defense. Well, he's trying to be asked to play an outside linebacker role that he wasn't suited for it. So it's
right.
It's, you know, and obviously you wish both of them the best, and, you know, but it's, you know, with Bowlers too, it's just, you just couldn't find a home. And then you switch to a new defense, and then you're being asked to, you know, to do different things.
Harder, in all honesty, because this defense is so much more varied than Leonard's. Like, I'm not saying that's better or worse. I just think there's a lot more variation to it. And then when you are already in between, you don't have a home, and then they're asking you to do other things. It became tough for him. And when that news started coming across Monday afternoon that he was transferring, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. We'll see where he ends up. But yeah, it's he gave this place everything he could, I think, in terms of being open and being willing to learn and try new things. So take that with you, and that will do you well wherever you end up. So let's talk about guys who are here now, Jake. This spring, to me, I'm not going to say is defined by this quarterback battle, but obviously it's the number one thing day to day when you watch who's getting the one reps, who's getting the twos, who's looking better and worse. You know, we talk about Tuesday's practice, kind of ugly for both guys. Some mistakes from both of them, some stuff that's like, all right, but maybe that's a turning point. But then the other guys goes out and makes the same type of mistake. So I think this is truly going to be a quarterback battle where we're in mid-August, and we're going to be approaching when practice shuts down for the media, at least, and we're not going to know. Or maybe somebody's taking a step, but these guys just are so equal in my mind, because personally, I don't see a whole lot of physical difference outside of the fact that Tyler Van Dyke is a bigger person, like physically, taller, wider human being. Arm strength, throwing, all that stuff looks about the same. And the one thing that I thought Van Dyke was going to have because of his experiences at Miami was I thought he's going to come in and be a much better deep ball thrower. The deep ball so far, I've written about it multiple times in our quarterback recaps, you can read on Badger Extra, just have not been accurate. And it's like, cool, you can chuck it far, but if the guy doesn't have a chance to catch it, it's not doing you much. So this quarterback battle is fascinating to me, because Locke obviously had the leg up having the year in the system and just the air raid knowledge, but he's clearly done work on his physical abilities too. I wish I had some type of like capping statement here. It's just we're in the thick of it, man. We're in the weeds, and I don't know. You know, Fickell mentioned today, like, the consistency is going to be what sets somebody over the top. And so far, I don't know if either one of them is all too consistent, good and bad days. And if somebody levels it out, maybe that's what really ends up becoming the deciding vote, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are some times where, like, you know, we'd see a rough Skelly, like a 7-on-7 session for one, and then the other, you know, and that same person would come back the next drive and then load a perfect 40-yard pass down the sideline. You're like, okay, sure, you know. And that's with this rate, you know, with this quarterback competition, you're seeing players that, yeah, you're having your good and your bad days, which, I mean, hey, you're in spring football, you're kind of testing what you can and can't do. And even Luke Fickell had mentioned this earlier, where, you know, the difference is in trying to manage the first team versus the second team. And I think that's big, because obviously with the first team offense, those that are getting first team reps on offensive line and wide receiver and others are different from those that are getting second team reps on offensive line by a vast majority mm-hmm. of, you know, of, on top of that too, the wide receivers, I still say are pretty deep.
I don't think you're dropping a whole ton with the second group there, but you might be having to deal with a snap or your shoelaces or kind of jumping to your right to field the snap, and then that throws off the play. So exactly. There's definitely an advantage to being up there with Renfrow and the first team offensive line in these practice sessions.
Right. But I mean, and you know what? Kudos to Braden Locke for taking that challenge. I mean, Luke Fickell talked about it, shaking it up.
Right. And yeah.
Terrain and competition. This is what it is. And, you know, maybe is it on me for, I said, like, during our position battle preview article, I said Van Dyke should be, you know, is assumed to be the kind of the front runner because, well,
oh, yeah, I thought the exact same coming into this.
It's 1 year of eligibility. It's 1 year of eligibility for him left. And normally players don't go to another program to, yeah, I mean, obviously they're going to compete. Everyone's going to compete. That's coaching, but.
Yeah, when you heard Fickell say this is going to be a quarterback competition, I thought it was lip service. I thought I was just saying, oh, yeah, every quarterback's going to have a shot to, you know, take this job, or they're not just going to hand it to Van Dyke. And, you know, I truly thought it was just kind of coach speak, and you have to say that because nobody wants to be, you know, nobody wants to learn that their job was given away, or the job they're competing for is given away in a transfer recruiting pitch. But
right,
that is how it's played out right now. Locke is right there. If they played on Saturday, Jake, I think you're with me. They'd have to start Braden Locke.
It's still only 8 practices through, but I think I turned to you and said the same thing earlier. Yeah. Whereas it's a thing where, and it's nothing against Van Dyke either. It's just you have Locke that's been in the system a little bit longer, and you've seen him step up his game against the Wisconsin defense, which itself looks improved from what they're able to do, especially with the linebackers that they've brought in, both transfer portal and high school recruiting. But this is I think it's going to go on until the fall. And Phil Long was the one saying, he's never had to really decide. They've had the quarterback's play has determined who will be the starter, and they declared themselves the starter by their play, is how he almost appeared, very close to verbatim. About what he said. But it should be, we should see by fall. And if not, that's going to be another big question for Wisconsin.
No doubt. Head
this year. And the thing is, though, behind those two, now with Evers departing, you have maybe Metoyer, who, he's in his first year. He is a true freshman, and he is learning the Wisconsin offense. He is going through his first semester as a college student, getting the grades down, getting the habits down, and whatnot. And, both Van Dyke and Locke complimented Metoyer, and we have that article up on Badger Extra from a couple of weeks ago. But, there is a big difference between where Locke and Van Dyke are and Metoyer.
The drop-off is significant now.
Right.
And that's not saying Metoyer won't eventually grow into being a solid quarterback. It's just you're seeing the growing pains right now. And you can compound them with the fact that you've got a struggling offensive line in front of them. And, it doesn't make it any easier. So, I got an email from somebody saying that I was too hard on Metoyer. And I'm like, I'm not saying he's a bad person or he won't eventually get better.
Right.
Right now, he's not playing all that well. And that's to be expected, in all honesty. That's why enrolling early is such an advantage for guys, particularly quarterbacks, because you get this stuff out now. You get those hard days and the learning the system when you don't have a game in front of you. You get a lot of time and a lot of reps. And we know this from the last couple of years or last year reporting with Phil Longo's offense. Like, the third quarterback doesn't do anything in practice. He is watching. It is all mental reps. So, Metoyer is in that position. Like, he's not going to have a very busy practice schedule beyond August next year. So, this is a really important time for him to get the physical parts of it down, and then the mental is going to continue to compound as you go forward.
Right. And on top of that, too, for anyone that's trying to you're being too rough. We're not trying to it's nothing personal. This is a thing where we are actively just saying they are true freshmen. Luke Fickell said, when I talked to him about the true freshmen, last week, and he had mentioned them, two of them can't hit a wall like they may be hitting at this moment. And that's Kevin Haywood, who's been getting consistent, exclusive second team reps at left tackle this spring, and Colin Cubberly, who is worked on the interior between second and third team reps so far at guard and
ran guard. Yeah.
And so, they don't have that luxury to have a but they're in a baptism by fire situation, which you referenced in the article today about the observations from Tuesday's practice. And so it is but some of these guys, Fickell even said, this is the time where you're after, first five practices, you're looking at, guys, these younger players' eyes kind of getting a little bit wider. And that's just, that's the part about being a true freshman. And Metoyer's had some good throws, for sure. But, there are guys that, Kyan Barry Johnson, I thought had a good practice today, and he's been showing up during, these last few practices about what he can bring in that slot receiver role. And so I think that, those are, and it's obviously it's more prominent at wide receiver and quarterback because everybody wants to see how they're doing. It's just part of the process. And we're going to see, true freshmen that come in June and then they're going to have their first splash in August during preseason camp, and they're going to be drinking from the fire hose. And that's even worse because you want to have preseason camp, but it's not like you have extra days in between like they do right now where you can go in for a meeting and whatnot, absorb, make the checks, and then go on to the next thing.
Yeah, you got to do that in the morning and then get back out to the practice field the next, you know, couple hours later.
Absolutely, and it's consistent during fall camp. And then on top of that, you have a bunch of, yeah, and then you have schoolwork and everything like that in the fall, that in games, game situations. And so, yeah, there's just, you know, like I said, yeah, we may criticize, but it's not but this is the good part for true freshmen that they can handle stuff like this and they can deal with this now. And we'll see where they are coming up in the fall. And in the next spring for these 11 true freshmen, I think, you know, we'll see, we'll gauge where they're at and just how much it's helped them next spring when they're likely competing for playing time and snaps too.
Yeah, quite a few of them for sure. All right, so get on badgeraction.com, subscribe, and you can get our quarterback report that I mentioned earlier. Do that every week until my wife has our second child. So at least one more week. At least one more week of that. Maybe Jake will take up for it for the last week of spring.
I could do that. Let's do that. Let's talk quarterbacks. Let's talk on.
People love it. So make sure you're checking that out. I know Jake's been all over the recruiting trail, like you mentioned earlier, both transfers and the high school. Check out the visitor story, too, because they've been having a lot of guys come on Saturdays. So check out that on baddirection.com. Lots of other things on there as well. Busy time. We have the basketball transfer portal open as well. So I know that's taking up some of our colleague Michael McCleary's time on top of that. So get on baddirection.com. Get subscribed. Don't miss anything that we're doing. We'll be back hopefully next week. Give you some more spring practice updates, anything else that's going on with the transfer portal. Because I would not assume that the losses of Evers and Bowlers are going to be the only ones. So we'll see what happens the next few weeks in terms of the transfer portal. But for Jake Okraski, I am Colton Bartholomew. Thank you guys very much for listening. We'll be back soon.
See ya.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.